You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Financial advice-led business PSG Consults was established back in 1998 to focus on the long-term needs and goals and investment objectives of its clients, especially during volatile markets. And that's certainly what we saw over the last 12 months. And that's as opposed to just simply selling product. Equally, it focuses on delivering long-term recurring revenue and earnings to its shareholders. So a tough and interesting balance to achieve that, delivering value to clients as well as value to shareholders at the same time. But something that PSG Consult has done remarkably well over the years and reported decent results today with its wealth and insurance units helping to offset a decline in profit from asset management. CEO Francois Gosse is on the line. Francois, good evening. Despite a difficult year, you delivered 10% recurring headline earnings per share growth and a 20% return on equity. And in line with your divvy policy, you declared a final gross dividend of 16.5 cents per share, which is up from last year's 15 cents. So it really demonstrates your strong financial position and clearly your confidence in the future. Before we talk about the future, how would you characterize the way that you've handled the last 12 months and the pandemic at PSG?
Yes, so it's, the conditions are well known, but in our own minds, you had to be prepared for a challenge. And I think what we felt is we'd invested very heavily in systems, infrastructure, technology, digitization, and so on. And so in some respects, when the challenge with COVID came and the lockdown came, there wasn't much you could actually do. I mean, if you hadn't already prepared, you had all sorts of difficulties. So luckily, we, for a number of years, had invested very heavily in the way that I described. And then, particularly during the first 6 months of the year, was just executing a transition between, working from the office to working to home and working in a digital environment away from a face-to-face environment. And then gradually, as things eased into the second half of the year, we were, able to return to a more normal operating, environment where we could start meeting clients again and where financial conditions also improved. So very much a year of two halves and very much about preparation rather than dramatic change during the crisis itself.
That said, do you expect any permanent changes post-COVID that are going to impact the client-advisor relationship and the way they interact?
I think it accelerated pre-existing trends. So I think a lot of what we've been trying to do is to digitally engage with our clients, to move from away from a paper-based communication with clients, and in many respects, COVID helped us to accelerate that trend. So it wasn't a new trend, but it certainly accelerated the trend. And then, there's ongoing debate in terms of, whether our staff will work from home or in the office. And I think, our own view is that, particularly for junior staff, it's impossible to train and to mentor to train, younger members of the team to gain experience. I think all of that has to be office based. But in terms of engaging with clients, obviously, I think the clients are now more familiar with technology, and so it doesn't always have to be face-to-face. I mean, a lot of that can now happen digitally. But I think, completely a digitized environment and only working from home, that's not the way we see the future, certainly not.
Yeah, hybrid model. I mean, one can't build culture.
Absolutely.
One can't onboard new advisors either. And if you look at wealth, you recorded assets inflowing of 14 billion over the period. So that's really solid going. And you, for the second consecutive year, were recognized as the wealth manager of the year by the IntelliDex 2020 Wealth Manager of the Year Awards for large institutions. And it's been a big focus, your advisor-led model. And if you look at the dramatic increase in administrative and regulatory burdens, compliance, all of those things, I think for small firms, they constitute time and costs. If you're a bigger manager, you can often split that up between various members of the team. If you're smaller, very difficult to do. And so you've been hoovering some of those up. The extent to which you've expanded is evidence of this. How much further room do you see for consolidation here in the wake of COVID?
Well, we see the wealth management businesses as quite fragmented. It's quite hard to also define exactly what represents wealth management and what doesn't. So is bank deposits part of wealth management, stock broking assets, to what extent is that included in wealth management, or the fund businesses? So it's hard to define, quite complex, and but our own view is that notwithstanding the successes that we've had over the last number of years, we've still got a relatively small market share, maybe 3-4%. That's at least what the analysts would estimate our market share to be. And so there's plenty of runway, plenty of room to grow into this highly fragmented market, and obviously, we're one of the larger players already. So, and what you would expect in a consolidated market is for a market leader to be closer to about a 15% market share. So there's a lot of consolidation that's yet to take place in the wealth management space, and I think we'll be a beneficiary of that consolidation.
And it is a big tailwind that improves operating jaws and really is part of the economies of scale that make the game so attractive. If you look at the asset management side, you were impacted by what you call style and cyclical market factors. You did post a decline in headline earnings there. Though we are seeing a change in the market at the moment, and we're seeing the shift away perhaps from growth more to a value bias, as the big talking point in markets is inflation. Where is it going to end up? Is it going to be 2.5%, 3% in the US, or maybe more? And with that, it comes much more into your skill set. What are you expecting on the asset management front in the year ahead?
Yes, so we were more optimistic about South Africa and perhaps earlier than most asset managers, and that was a disadvantage coming into 2020. But as things normalized and as the fiscal and monetary policy accommodation that you spoke about started to kick in and inflationary expectations started to rise, it was most certainly a pickup in value-related companies. And again, there, that trend was very favorable for us. So we came into the year with some difficulty because we lagged in terms of investment performance that resulted in some outflows. But as things normalized in the way that we discussed, and we started to see good returns and good inflows. Looking forward, into the monetary policy aggregates, money aggregates are at all-time records, very, very high levels. The fiscal policy is extraordinarily accommodative. So these are epic proportions of stimulation that's occurring in the world economy, and that should be an incredible tailwind for all value-related stocks. So, we feel that over the next several months, maybe even years, conditions are ideal for our investment style and investment approach. And so, notwithstanding the initial setbacks that we had in terms of returns, I think the recovery that we've seen and looking forward, we're quite optimistic about the future, and specifically about our own asset management business.
I think it's left quite a few of those advisors who are talking their books to get everyone to invest offshore, and we're all doom and gloom about South Africa, to wipe a bit of egg off their faces. Some aren't. Some are doubling down. Just as a final point, and more broadly speaking on the macro and South Africa and where we find ourselves, Francois, what is your current view of the current pace of reform under the new administration? I know some have been quite frustrated at the slow pace of reform. That is oftentimes politics. It's like turning the the ever given in the Suez Canal. It doesn't happen just overnight. What is your view?
Look, our founder, Yanni Maton, you know, he always insisted on being on being positive and looking for opportunities. And, you know, he always felt that if you're negative, you're closed-minded and you make mistakes. And we saw some of the mistakes that people made last year, you know, those market commentators, and we were criticized at the time for being optimistic about South Africa, you know, saying that they should, you know, you should take all your money offshore and shouldn't be invested in South Africa. You know, we took a contrary view. We're not saying that South Africa hasn't got challenges. I mean, South Africa has got many, many challenges. They're well known. Our own view has been for a considerable period of time is that the majority of those challenges have been priced in. And gradually, what we have seen over the last number of months is a positive momentum in terms of legislative change, in terms of the commissions, in terms of the review of what's happening in relation to SOEs. I mean, the list goes on and on. And in our own view, we try not to be unrealistically optimistic, but it's undeniable in our mind that things have turned for the better, and the asset prices still don't reflect that reality. So in our own minds, you know, by all means, you should have a diversified portfolio, which includes investments internationally and the split between equity and income funds. But it's certainly not the time to think that this is the end of South Africa. That's just not the way that we're thinking. We are basically optimistic about South Africa, and we feel that for the reasons that I've mentioned, you know, the returns for clients in the next several months and even years could be quite attractive in South Africa, and that's a view that we've articulated for quite a while, and we continue to hold that view.
Well, certainly first movers on that view and proven right over the last 12 months. We see South Africa in terms of global market performance up 82% in US dollar terms. Germany behind in 59, Canada at 55, China way down at the bottom at 29. US markets have only returned 53 in the last 12 months. So we certainly hope that it does continue, as I'm sure do your clients as well. PSG Consult CEO Francois Gous reporting back on a resilient performance here on Classic Business.